All right, we'll go ahead and we'll say a word of prayer, and then we'll jump in this lesson again. We'll continue on. We'll probably finish up tonight, continue on with, I can't remember the name of it, but I believe it's the Hereafter, I believe, that basically explains what happens at death. I believe this will be the last lesson that we'll do in reference to this. And so we'll start. I believe we left off on 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll start back. We'll start back there. And then we'll move through the lesson on tonight. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father Yah, we just bless you as always. We thank you as we can get into your word on tonight. We seek wisdom and understanding. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. In the wonderful name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. We'll just start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We just kind of use it to launch from tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm just going to see where we'll start here, in which verse. I think we may start around verse 13, okay? And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here because we dealt with this in detail, and so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in 1 Corinthians 15. I just want to use it as a place to start. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll start at verse 13. It says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain, or empty, fruitless, you know, vain. Yeah, and we are found false witnesses of Yah, because we have testified of Yah that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not, because he's proven the fact that the dead does rise, okay? For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Okay. Verse 17 says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Let us know that if Christ was not raised, then none of us will be raised, and none of us who have passed on will be raised from the dead. But we know, as we look at verse 19 and 20, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Remember, we're constantly using this word slept. And we'll just deal with that word quite a bit in this lesson here. We'll go back and look at Old Testament scriptures whereby our nation understood what slept was, and they talked about it a lot. They didn't mention the word death like the way that we understand it. Death seems so death seems so found and things like that, but when you look at it from a perspective of all those who are followers of Christ, those who trust and believe in Yah, we all sleep, okay? Again, verse 21 says, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We'll skip to verse 35 again because we dealt with this. It says, but some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? And it says, verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And then it starts dealing with different types of grain, verse 37, and to point out that, verse 39, that all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another of fish, and another of birds. It says there are celestial beings and terrestrial, celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Then it says, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star is different from another star in glory. And so you look at stars, they're not planets, they're actually illuminations. That's why some stars are brighter than others. Because they are illuminations, and some of them are brighter than other stars, okay? Verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption, okay? It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. And again, we dealt with these things, so I'm not going to spend time dealing with this here, okay? Skip to verse 52. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. That's talking about the, again, dead as far as the physical body is concerned. Okay? And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, mortal as far as the physical body, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in glory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because the grave has victory over the physical body that dies, okay? And so it's important for us to understand these things. Verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Okay? The law that shows us sin. The law doesn't make us righteous. It gives us the instructions to let us know the difference between right and wrong. Okay? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to Yah, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Yahushua Mashiach. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, for as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's why we know that we will rise again. You know, if we die before Christ returns, we know and we are confident in this walk that we have with God that we will indeed be raised again, okay? Now, we'll just look at some other passages here just to confirm these things. And it's kind of like a go back over and just review some of the other scriptures just to point all these things out and to remind us of these things, okay? We'll go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again, verse 13 through 17 this time, just to confirm these things. He tells us in the scripture here, he says, but I will not have you ignorant, have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, the physical body being asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those who have no hope, you know, when death occurs, then there's sorrow that's associated with it. But those of us who know that our hope is in Christ and who we believe in and has led us back to the Father, we have hope and we're not ignorant concerning death, okay? Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Yahushua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in him, will Yah bring with him." Remember the souls? We dealt with the souls in the altar, that's under the altar in the book of Revelation. I believe it's Revelation 6, that when we die, Luke 16 points it out, that when the physical body dies, we live eternally. We live eternally, whether that's in hell, Luke 16, or in heaven, as the scripture point out, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, okay? Again, 14, if we believe that Yahushua died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Yahushua will Yah bring with him. Verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of Yah, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," because there will be some who will be alive when Christ returns, okay? So that's what it's talking about, those who are alive and remain. The word remain means survive. Let's look at it here. The word remain means to survive. So it lets us know, you know, that's why when you get Christians that say that they will be raptured up out of this thing, it lets us know that this will be a time frame where the saints will be in survival, to leave all around, to survive, okay? And because, you know, we will, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so to speak, we will go, or we will go through the fiery furnace. We'll be tested, we'll be tried, and, you know, and we will remain, we will survive, okay? Again, it says, though, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, which are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Yah, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these sayings. And again, that's where, you know, the Christians teach the rapture, that this is a time frame where they will be caught up and taken to heaven for what they said 7 years, and then will return with this God bring with him in verse 14. But that just doesn't line up with the scriptures, okay? The scripture points out that that the saints will be tried. It's not like Yah's going to come back and pick special people, you know. And I always say this, you know, because, I mean, when you look at it from that perspective, who he's going to come back and get? You know, who is he going to come back and get? What's so special? I mean, I hear a lot of doctrine out there. I hear a lot of teachings going on. And so from that perspective, like, who is he going to come get and leave? Who is he going to come get and who is he going to leave? And it's just a selfishness and a arrogance that's associated with that, that puts us in a position where we operate in a self-righteousness to think that that we as the children of the Most High will avoid tribulation, and all those who say will have to go through the tribulation. If you're going to teach that, it will make more sense to say, well, all those who are saved for one reason or another, whether that's before or after the tribulation or during the tribulation, will be raptured up. I mean, what makes them so special to get the gold, and everybody else who gets saved after that has to suffer? No, all the saints are going to suffer during this time frame. And that's the biggest deception that's going to put people in position whereby a lot of folks not going to make it in, because they're going to be discouraged during this time frame, and they're going to give up. That's why the scripture said, tells us, in 1 Corinthians 15, be immovable, be steadfast. It's going to take some steadfast, immovable principles that we're going to have to stand on during this time frame. And it's vitally important that that be understood, you know. I'd rather be prepared instead of thinking that I'm going to get up out of here and not be prepared, you know. It's a dangerous position to be in, okay? And so we have to comfort one another with these words, knowing that we are the saints and Yah indeed will return and gather us into our homeland, okay? Gather us into our homeland, all right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But when he gathers us, we will also be with him. As verse 17 points out, we'll forever be with him. But when you look at precept upon precept, line upon line, he's gathering his people and gathering us back into the homeland. Okay. Now, we'll just look at some other scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians, we'll look at chapter 5. We'll just look at verse 9. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. It says, "For Yah has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Yehoshua Mashiach." When you look at that verse, you get Christians that will stand on this verse, and this verse is true. Yah has not appointed us to wrath. There's a difference between wrath and tribulation. So when you look at the word wrath, when you look at the word wrath here in verse 10, to show you the difference, verse 9, I'm sorry. When you look at the word wrath, it means vengeance, it means anger, okay, violent passion, justifiable abhorrence or punishment. So when you look at those of us who are in Christ Yahushua, the anointed one, the anointed king, God has not, that's true, God has not appointed us to wrath. So when you look at the word wrath, and we'll pull up another scripture here, because I want you to see the difference between the two. Because I get people that will say that all the time. They'd be like, "Well, that's why we're going to be raptured, because Yah has not appointed us to wrath." That's true. But look at what the scripture said. In Matthew 24, verse 29. Matthew 24, to the left of the screen, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven." Notice the stars are falling from heaven. Have you ever seen a falling star? People tell you that's way out there. That's what NASA tells you. It's way out there in the universe, and the reason why you can't see it is because it just disappeared. You know, but it's the whole planet that's falling. No, what you're looking at is the stars up in the firmament that has or heaven that has the water above it. And when you see a falling star, because it's nothing but illumination, it's just a light. And when the star falls, the light goes out. The illumination goes out. That's why you see it fall so far and then it disappears. Because it's nothing but a light. Okay, it's nothing but a light. There are even photos and things that people have taken of the moon when the moon is half. And on clear nights, really clear nights, you can actually see the stars. When you got a half a moon, you can see the star where that other half a moon is supposed to be. Because there's nothing but a light. Okay? So the moon is full illumination at times, and it's half illumination at other times. You're looking at miracles from Yah. So when it's a half illumination, all you're seeing is half of that light. And the stars are now being able to be seen. Where it appears that the stars are coming through the moon, or that half moon, which is nothing but illumination, okay? And so as you look at this here, where it says, verse 30, well, again, the star, verse 29, the star shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. We pointed out over and over the reason why they're going to, all the tribes of the earth mourn, because they're going to see him from a flat earth. If you see him from a sphere or a round planet, then not everybody going to see him return, because those at the bottom part of the round planet is not going to see him. But all the tribes are going to mourn because everybody going to see him return from a flat earth. Okay? Dry ground, flat. Okay? Now, as we look at the word tribulation in verse 29, the word tribulation, it means persecution, pressure, trouble. Okay? Trouble, persecution. Now, if you notice the difference when you look at verse 9, the scripture says, Yah has not appointed us to wrath. When you look at wrath means punishment, wrath, vengeance, violent passion. Okay? We as the saints will be tested, but we will not go through wrath. There's a difference between tribulation and wrath. The saints are going through the tribulation, but the saints are not going through the wrath of Yah. And so when you get people that say, well, see, wait a minute, I got you right there, preacher, because during the time of Revelation, that's when the wrath of Yah is manifested. Yeah, but we won't be experiencing it. The wrath will be upon those who have taken the mark, those who are not followers of Yah. There are people today experiencing the wrath of Yah, but yet we as the saints are not experiencing the wrath of Yah. We are going through tribulation, though. So you have to understand it from the perspective of what Yah intended. And so, yes, of course, we as the saint, we will not go through wrath. We will not go through Yah's punishment from a perspective of anger and violence, whereby he is fit to destroy us as mankind. But at the same time, it's the same way as far as Noah is concerned. Although you had the wrath of Yah on the earth, Noah was delivered from the wrath, but he was still on earth. See, that's what people miss, that they use Noah as a symbolism of escaping the wrath of Yah, thus they turn around and say, that's why we're going to be raptured. No. Noah was here on earth, went through the flood, missed the wrath of Yah. The wrath of Yah was up on all mankind and all the animals, except for those people that was in the ark and the animals that was in the ark, but yet they were not removed from earth. So it's from that same perspective, we as the saints will go through tribulation, but we will not experience the wrath of Yah. That's why the scripture tells us that two-thirds will be cut off, and one-third shall make it through. Okay? And so there is a difference there. Indeed, you have seen a lot of cases, even today, where you're experiencing, you have been a witness to the wrath of Yah, but yet he delivered you out of it. But all of us are tested. All of us go through tribulation. All of us go through pressure. All of us go through affliction. Okay? All of us experience burdens. We experience persecution. We experience trouble. That's what tribulation is. So during the time when this beast rises up to full power, we will experience pressure. We will experience affliction, persecution. Okay? To the point to where even the saints will be killed. But that's not the wrath of Yah, though. That's the persecution of the saints. Okay? The wrath of Yah, when a person experiences the wrath of Yah, that's designed to put us in a position where where we lose both the physical body and the soul in hell. You don't want that. Okay? We don't want that. Okay? And so so I just wanted to show the difference between the two, okay? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, so Yah had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. See, it shows the difference between wrath and salvation. We can go through pressure and still be in salvation. Matter of fact, I had did some writing not too long ago to encourage a classmate of mine who was going through some things as far as her son was concerned, and I used my daughter Mahia as an example, and that was and through that example of seeing her go through the things that she was going through and having to watch my child go through that, that was pressure. That was pressure. That was affliction. I was looking at her body being afflicted. You know, my mind was being afflicted. But yet, our salvation went on the line. So we have to understand when we look at verse 9 that wrath put salvation on the line. No, it's not appointed unto us for wrath, whereby salvation is now on the line where we lose our salvation. It shows us the difference. It says, Yah has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Because those who don't obtain salvation will experience wrath. That's how we know the difference. But yet, all of us have experienced tribulation. Okay? Matter of fact, I'm just going to, there's a few scriptures that I'm thinking about, but I'm just going to just look up a few just to show you here. I can come back in because it won't let me type for some reason. I think he's going to do it again. Can you find it for me, then we'll figure out what's going on with this later. I don't know why I do that. Just type in the word tribulation. I don't know why it won't let me do it. Maybe dead. Tribulation here is concerned. Yes, the one of John 16, the one I was looking for. Okay. Okay, John 16, just to show us here. John 16, verse 33, says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Okay? Now, when you look at the word peace, just to show you here, you might have peace. The word peace is prosperity. So when you hear people talk about prosperity, you have to understand it from a kingdom perspective, because most people think prosperity is money. But then they have all the money in the world, and then they wonder why they still don't have peace. Because peace of mind is prosperity. So when you look at these things, it means nothing missing, nothing broken in a nutshell. Peace is salvation, okay? It's salvation. It's connected to that word salvation. So it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." The word tribulation, it's the same meaning: persecution, trouble, anguish, pressure. In the world you shall have it. Christians think they're not going to have it. We're going to get out of the tribulation. But the scripture says, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's why when you get over into Revelation, type it in. We are. That's not the word I'm looking for. Chapter 12, verse 11, saying, "And they overcame." Look at what he says again. John 16. Which verse was it? Mm-hmm. John 16:33. Okay. John 16:33, and when you look at again verse 33, John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him." Who? The beast. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. This is the overcoming of the world system. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This is tribulation. We overcome by the blood and the testimony, the word of Yah. Okay? And that's why he says this in John 6:33. So we do, in a nutshell, experience tribulation. Okay? So now when we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and look at verse 9 again, it says, For Yah had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Yahushua Mashiach. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. When we awake, we are alive now, we're living with him. We now sleep, we die, we still live with him. Okay? Because life goes on. And so it's just vitally important for us to understand these things from the perspective of death. Now, 2 Peter 3:4, we're just looking at different scriptures just to confirm it. We're just confirming everything now. 2 Peter 3:4 says, I start at verse 3. 2 Peter 3:3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, our nation always looked at it as sleep." Okay, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, but they are ignorant concerning how things happen, that Yah is going to do exactly what he said that he's going to do. But I'm just showing different scriptures that point out that that we do sleep. Okay, when we do sleep, we are laid in the tomb. Acts 13:36. It says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of Yah, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption." See, he saw corruption. The physical body experiences the corruption. "But he whom Yah raised again saw no corruption. But it is known, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Okay? And so we're seeing scriptures here where David did sleep, and his body, physical body, saw corruption. All those who sleep in Christ, their body will see corruption, but yet the soul and the spirit will live on, okay? Be asked from the body to be present with the Lord, okay? James 2, just showing all the scriptures now. James 2, verse 26, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead." Sleep. It's sleep. The body without the spirit is dead. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a body that is without the spirit. That body is dead. So it lets us know that the only thing that keeps this physical body going on is because it is the spirit, the breath of Yah, that calls us to calls his body to be living. Yah breathed in us the breath of life. We became living souls. Okay? Okay? So as the body without the spirit is dead, then it says so without works So faith without works is dead also. Just giving us the understanding from the perspective of faith and works, okay? And again, our nation spoke of death as sleep. And all of us who understand death from this point on, we know that we just sleep. Deuteronomy 31, verse 16, it says, "And Yah said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." Okay, sleep with thy fathers. They're all the physical body. "And this people will rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land." He was telling Moses what our nation was going to do, because Moses didn't cross over into the promised land, but he slept with his fathers. So that's another word. Again, even when you look at it in the Old Testament, the word sleep here, when you look at it, in shakab, it means to lay down to sleep, okay, take rest. But it's talking about death from a perspective of the body, okay? 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. Showing you all the scriptures again. I'll just tell you what is going on here. This is David again, 7 verse 12. David, as you look, he wanted to build Yah house, okay? As you look up at it, it says, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and Yah had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of Yah dwelleth within curtains." And David wanted to build Yah a house, but Yah spoke to David in reference to that. There were some things that David had done, and Yah would allow his son to build him a house. But he tells David what would happen to him in verse 12. It says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." Moses slept with his fathers. David slept with his fathers. He said, "I will sit up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." And this was Solomon who built the house for Yah. Okay? David went on and slept with his father. David died. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "So David slept with his father and was buried in the city of David." His body was buried. Okay? He slept with his father. But at this time, you know, Christ hadn't come. So when Christ hadn't come, we take a look at to see where his fathers were. Okay? Take a look to see where his fathers were. Because Christ hadn't come yet. Again, we just going over these scriptures just to show you. Okay? Let's see where his fathers are. Luke 16, verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham." That's one of David's fathers. Okay, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, Jacob, Israel has Judah. David is a descendant of Judah. So all those are his fathers. So Abraham's bosom. So Lazarus, or the beggar died. Lazarus, the beggar died. Lazarus here in verse 23. Lazarus is with his father, Abraham. So you got Isaac there. You got Israel there. Jacob there. You got Moses there. So it's showing you where they were going before Christ died. Okay? So he tells, so when you look at him in verse, when you look at this in this verse here, it points out in verse 12, it lets us know, First King 2, verse 10, it says, and so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. So his physical body was buried in Jerusalem. David is here. So when David dies here, David goes here. He's with his father. Okay? When Christ now dies, he lead our captivity captive. Now all of them are in heaven. Before this, they were in paradise, called paradise. Because Satan said this day you'd be in paradise. So he's using that as example, but yet he led our captivity captive. He gave gifts to me in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? He paradise is not heaven, because the scripture points out that he's roaming the streets, being seen by many for 40 days. Okay? So when you see this in 1 Kings chapter 2, David slept with his father, then we know that this is the place where he was. He was with Abraham, his father. It just mentioned that Lazarus was with Abraham. But his fathers are there. Okay? Abraham is his father. So this is where David is. So when he slept with his father, it let you know that he was buried, but this is where he was as far as his soul is concerned. Okay? Now as we dealt with it now, the rich man died, okay? He lifted up his eyes in torment, being in torment. So it lets us know that those who are not in Christ, when they die, they're consumed with, they don't praise Yah. We'll look at that. We have time. They don't praise Yah because they're consumed with trying to deal with the torment. They don't have time to say, Lord, Lord, help me, because they're too busy being in torment. It's all they're concerned about. They're consumed with the torment, the plenty. As you look at the rich man, all he's concerned about, that's why he said, and he cried, verse 24, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He wasn't saying, you know, Father Abraham, can you talk to Yah? All he was consumed with was the torment. Okay? So he sleeps with his father, so it lets us know that before Christ, death and resurrection, all those went to a sort of called the place Abraham's bosom or paradise. Okay? They went there. But now they're all in heaven, as we look at it in Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 6, I believe, to point out these things. Okay? Now, chapter 11, 1 Kings 11. Verse 21. It says, and when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab the captain of the host was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart that I may go to mine own country." Okay, and so when you look at this here, it point out again, they slept with his fathers. Okay, so we know where David was before Christ came. Okay, verse 43. It says, and Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. So as we look at Solomon here, Solomon is in that same place where Abraham, where Lazarus was, David, he's in the same place. So that's how we understand. The physical body dies, but yet the soul live on. Right? The spirit is removed from the man because that's the breath of Yah. Okay? When breath of Yah comes in man, in Genesis 2, he becomes a living soul, a spirit soul. Okay? Now, other passages here we'll look at here to show you that there's no consciousness in death. Now, what am I talking about? I'm just confirming. You got to stay within harmony from what we understand. What do I mean when I say there's no consciousness in death? I'm talking about the physical body. Because we are eternal. The soul is eternal. Spirit is eternal. Okay? Psalm 6, verse 5 says, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" Come out the physical body. Okay? Come out the physical body. Death has no remembrance. Also, it points out, now when I'm talking about death has no remembrance, it shows a twofold revelation here. Death has no remembrance of thee. Talking to us as the saints as far as the physical body is concerned. But it also talks about the death of the soul as far as the unrighteous are concerned. They don't think about nothing but their torment. And that's why it says, in the grave, who shall give thee thanks? Who shall give thee thanks? Because it's letting us know that we as the saints, the physical body dies, it doesn't give thanks anymore. Okay? We'll continue to move on here. I think that's about all of them I want to just point out here just to point out some things. We'll look at some just to show you that they don't. I got a lot of notes here and I'm just trying to see which one I want to go for. Psalms 15, verse 17, it says, "The dead praise not Yah, neither any that go down into silence." Okay? The dead praise not Yah. The physical body doesn't praise Yah, and those who are separated from Yah in death, like the rich man, he wasn't praising Yah. He's just trying to figure out how to get out of torment. Okay? So I wanted to pound that in, okay? Isaiah 14, I may make this my last one. Isaiah 14, we'll look at verse 9. It says, there are some other things that's dealing with this here, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because I can go on a minute with this. Isaiah 14, verse 9 says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we?" Because it's pointing out who this individual is. So when you look at what it says, "How art thou, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground with thee weak as a nation?" Okay? You have to associate that with this king of Babylon. You get people that will say this is Satan. But you have to understand that Satan hadn't been cast out yet, hadn't been cast down. And so when you look at some things that's associated with this, it points out that what happened to the king of Babylon. Okay? That's why verse 4 says, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, "How has the oppressor ceased?" What does cease mean? Look at the word cease. What did you say? How has the the oppressor's feast. It says rest, take away. Okay, how has the oppressor's feast? Let's look at it now. Verse 4. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. Yah has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing, yell, the fir tree rejoice at thee. The cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hail from beneath, so it points what the laid down for this king of Babylon is. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. His physical body died just like the rich man. Okay? It stirs up the dead for thee, so it lets him know, just like the rich man. The rich man died and is buried. His physical body is buried in the ground. From dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. But there is an eternal now separation. And it's pointing out what goes on in hell when wicked men die. When wicked men die, hell is stirred up for them. Which gives us the understanding when Lazarus died and is taken into Abraham's bosom, that also the saints are stirred up to receive the righteous. Okay? It's a welcoming party when we die and we go to heaven. The saints are there to rejoice and we come into heaven. The same way as hell is stirred up for the wicked. And so this king of Babylon who had most likely killed some of these other kings, showed his great power and his great strength in his wickedness on earth. Yah used him as a tool to judge the nation of Israel. Now, at his judgment, where he's now dead, and he lay down, and he's buried, hell is stirred up for him. When you look at hell, it points out what this is now. It says hell. It says Sheol, Hades, the world of the dead. Okay? It points out that it's a grave, but it's different from being buried as far as a physical body is concerned. So it points out what takes place when the wicked die. Okay? Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth, all the ones you destroyed that was wicked, all the ones that was wicked, all the wicked men and women are there, and hell is stirred up when people come. Okay? Because we live eternally in heaven or in hell. Again, it says now, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up their thrones. All the kings of the nations, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? You mean you this great king and you down here where we are? Equal playing field. Okay? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise of thy boils. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Okay? Talking about death now. But it's letting you know that individual who's wicked, who died, hell stirs itself up for the individual. Okay? That's why the scripture points out that hell enlarges itself to receive it. Okay? To show you that this Lucifer here is this same king of Babylon. We know Satan here is going to be cast in hell also, but this is talking about a man. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yah. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was a god. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? Satan is not a man. This is the king of Babylon. Is this the man? Lucifer is the king of Babylon. Because he has the mind of Satan. When you look at Lucifer, verse 12, as it identifies the name, it means the morning star. Okay? Now, again, it says verse 16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble, that did shake kingdoms? This is why they're stirred up here in verse 9 and 10. They're saying, wow, is this the man? Is this the man who dominated us and shake kingdoms, that made the world as the wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as the carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of the evildoer shall never be renowned. So it's pointing out things that happened to this king of Babylon. And so I wanted to point that out, that when things take place, when the individual died is wicked, hell is stirred up for these individuals. Okay? The same way heaven is stirred up to receive the same. It's a joyous occasion. All right? I just wanted to point that out. I'll go ahead and stop right there. And I'm through here. I got some other notes here, but I'm through here as far as dealing with things in reference to this subject matter. Okay? Any questions or comments? We good? Okay. I'll stop there. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on today. We thank you for another opportunity just to get into your word and understand some principles associated with it. We now have confidence that when we sleep, that indeed we shall continue to live, for to be absent from the physical body is to be present with the Lord. And we thank you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.